This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross with our tribute to James Brown.
If you leave me, I'll go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
If you leave me, I'll go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Cause I love you, love you, oh. I love you too much. If you quit me.
That's James Brown, recorded in 1958. He was called the godfather of soul, but it's impossible to imagine funk or even hip-hop without the rhythmic innovations of James Brown. As a singer, bandleader, and performer, he influenced generations of musicians around the world. James Brown died Christmas morning at the age of 73. Later in the show, we'll hear from Bruce Tucker, who collaborated on Brown's 1986 autobiography, and from two musicians who played in his band, Maceo Parker and Bootsy Collins. First, we have an interview with James Brown himself, recorded last year after the publication of his autobiography, I Feel Good. Here's someone who can introduce him a lot better than I can.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time? Thank you, and thank you very kindly. It is indeed a great pleasure to present to you at this particular time, national and international known as the hardest working man in show business, man that's saying, I'll go crazy. Try me. You've got the power. Think. If you want me, I don't mind. Bewildered. $1 million seller, lost someone. The very latest release, Night Train. Let's everybody shout and shimmy. Mr. Dynamite, the amazing Mr. Please Please himself, the star of the show, James Brown and the Famous Flame.
Now, we've all heard your MC introduce you over the years. Why did you want an MC to introduce you in this fantastic way?
Well, because it's dramatic, it dramatizes a lot. And it's a build-up, what show business should be about. Show business should really be a build-up, and then once you go into it, you like live it. But it should be the great fanfare and a production, and that gets to the people, the chords, different kind of way you say it. The same as a minister would do in a church, or a coach would do to his team. You have to have a way of getting started, and that's probably the best way that I know of. With a dramatic introduction.
Did you tell him what to say?
Yes.
And one of the things your MC has always done is, like, put on your cape, take off your cape. Why did you want to wear a cape?
The cape is because I saw a wrestler by the name of Gorgeous George. And Gorgeous George was a flamboyant wrestler, and who wore curls in his hair at that time, and he was really sharp and really different, a little early for most people. You expect him to win if he didn't win. So it was kind of a thing where he was a great wrestler, so it made a great first production. It made him quite... Gorgeous George reminded me a lot of Hulk Hogan.
The wrestler, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, have you always had your clothes made for you?
Most of the time I design them. I started wearing red suits years ago, and they thought we were crazy. But we wanted people to say, there he is, not where he is. And the same thing applies to the Famous Flames.
I want to play I Got You, I Feel Good, one of your most famous songs. You have two versions of this. The first one you didn't release. You weren't happy with it. This was in 1964. What was wrong with the original version? What made you think it's not ready yet? It's not right yet?
You got to get it where it syncs with the people or where they're at. You know, I Feel Good was cut first with a jazz concept because I have a broad and a great, more of ability to do more than one kind of music or hear one kind of thing. There are so many directions that I go in, you know. So what I did, I went back and about 4 o'clock in the morning, I called my band leader at that time, his name was Nat Jones. I recorded I Feel Good in Chicago, and it was too sharp, too slick. had a baritone, you know, and the syncopation was so sharp. So I had to cut something. It was like, I feel good. Da 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 da. We call that staccato because it hits right on all the points. Dun 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 dun. And the drum. So what we did, we wanted to get more of a funk feeling, a sanctified feeling. So we changed it and slowed it down. Wow, I feel good. And that's two different kind of things. See? That's one is jazz because sharp mixes, and the other one kind of laid back, and gave you a little rock and roll feeling at that time as well. So we went with the laid back cut because that fit the street and fit the dances. A good thing I could dance because by being able to dance, I could really tell that the new arrangement, the new concept I had for it, really fell right in place.
What was the difference between the dancing you could do with the second version compared to the first?
Well, you could do the street dances. The first verse was, you might even do ballroom and everything with it, but the second verse was strictly for get down from the street.
Right.
And we need street action. That's what's basically wrong with the music today. A lot of it don't go street.
Okay, well, let's hear both of these versions back to back. The unreleased and the released versions of James Brown, I Got You, I Feel Good.
Well, you'll notice that the unreleased has a baritone in it, mm-hmm. with a heavy sound. And the other one don't have the baritone, but you'll see the difference.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got it. Oh, I feel nice. Sugar and spice. I feel nice, sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, since I got you. And I feel nice, sugar and spice. I feel nice, sugar and spice.
Shortly after you recorded I Got You, you recorded Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. And I want to quote something that you say in your new memoir, I Feel Good. You say, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag changed everything again for me and my music. I didn't need melody to make music. That was, to me, old-fashioned and out of step. I now realized I could compose and sing a song that used one chord or two at the most. How did you start reducing your songs to being more about rhythm than about melody?
What I did with that, I brought a lot of my songs as melody, but like I Feel Good, that's melody, all that stuff. But
mm-hmm.
rhythm, all the way through the song. Now this is, even rock and roll stuff had melody, you know. But I went with more of a jazz concept gospel situation.
Now, at about this time, your beat really starts shifting from the 2 and the 4 to the 1 and the 3. Can you talk a little bit about that shift?
Started,
yeah, go ahead.
It started that with Papa's Bag.
Right.
From that point on, it was 1 and 3. And even before I Feel Good, Papa's Bag has a 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe just clap for us the difference?
Well, one is laid back, and you know, it's about... Dun, ding, dun, bum. The one that has syncopation. I mean, that's the difference. And you count it off, you right on the one. bam, doom, bang, bang. And then the other one, you say one and a two, and you'd be on a two, see, but with two is upbeat, and I'm on the downbeat. That's the difference.
How did you start doing that?
Well, because of the fact that I'm a musician, I sung gospel as well, and I know the difference. It's not how. It was easy to do. Why would be the best thing. Why gave me a different feeling.
And was it hard to convince the musicians that this would work, or did they get it right away?
No, I paid them. And they played what I wanted, and that was it, because they would have never agreed.
They would have never agreed to it?
They would have never agreed.
Why not?
Well, because it was in their head that Mozart, Schubert, Beethoven, Strauss, Bach, Chopin, was correct. And they used to tell me that I was wrong. So they thought that was a law in music. There's no law in music. There's a freedom in music.
We'll hear more of our 2005 interview with James Brown in the second half of the show. Coming up, an interview with Bruce Tucker, who collaborated with Brown on his 1986 autobiography. This is Fresh Air.